Amen. Will somebody shout hallelujah? Amen. Bishop's talking about that brick stretcher. Amen. I need somebody to go find me a left-handed screwdriver. Amen. And while you out, give me some polka-dotted paint. Amen. And I'm gonna be good to go. Make sure you go to the store and ask for it just like that. Amen. Amen. You know, them left-handed screwdrivers may just a little bit different. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank God so much for each and every one of you here this morning. I don't plan to be long this morning, but I do have a word from the Lord, and I do want to admonish you to pay attention. Young people, I want you to, and not just young people, everybody, I want you to realize when during camp meeting, Kevin and Annette said something that I hadn't heard in a long time, and they talked about the angels walking around with their scrolls taking notes of how we worship, how we praise, how we give, and they taking notes if you're on your phone, if you're not paying attention, if you have praising. Why? Because the Bible says the books are going to be open. When we stand before God, amen, those books are going to be open, amen. Boy, a lot of us are going to get a big surprise. Thank God for the blood, amen. Thank God for the blood that blots out all of our transgressions, amen, and covers all of our sins, amen, and just wash them away, amen. But realize this place is full of the angelic beings that are here to help us worship. And I mean, each of them have different jobs and different functions that they do, but there are a lot of them walking around with their scrolls and they're watching us, amen. They're looking at how you praising God, amen. I mean, let me write that in the scrolls, amen. And the Bible says that one day we'll stand before him and we will give an account, amen. Amen, praise God. But we don't have to fear, we don't have to worry, because we know that we're covered in the blood of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord God, we love you with all of our heart. Thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. And as we worship and we minister the word of God this morning, we thank you, Father God, for the anointing as it rests upon us now. Lord, let your glory fill this place. And I thank you that the ears are anointed to hear the word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Praise God. I want to thank God so much for my big brother being in town. Him and his family, amen. I talked to Trina earlier about singing a solo. So, Douglas, I think she's singing in the key of F sharp. Come on, Trina, we're ready for you. Amen. You said bring the mic to you. Amen. What'd you say, Trina? She said don't play with me. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Thank God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, everybody know me. Boy, I tell you, I love to laugh. And my kids were like, Daddy, you know what? Your jokes are getting just a little bit stale. I'm like, excuse you? I'm like, Daddy, that ain't funny to us. They always say, old people, Lord. I'm like, girl, I ain't old. I said, your mama might be old, but I ain't old. Man. But anyway, so for Father's Day, they got me a dad joke book. I'm like, what y'all trying to say? You need some new jokes, Daddy? So I'm finna bless y'all with some of these dad jokes this morning. All right, boy. Cat, you might want to take some notes now. I ain't gonna mess with you this morning, Cat. I ain't gonna mess with you this morning. I mean, I talked about Cat. Next thing I know, I was on TikTok. I said, all right, Cat, I'm gonna leave you alone, brother. Amen. All right. Now, this funny to me now. I mean, I rode with my nieces. We went to Texarkana. I said, y'all, I got a new joke book. Y'all finna get this work all the way up to 6 hours with these jokes. Amen. After I told two or three, I think I went to sleep. But okay. Now, this is funny to me. What is an astronaut's favorite key on the keyboard? The space bar. All right, I got more. I got a whole lot more now. Watch this now. All right. Okay. Why do hamburgers always taste better in outer space? Because they are meteor. Okay. All right. Watch this. Okay, you're going to laugh at this one. Why did the moon skip dessert? Because it was full. They so corny till they funny. Oh my God. Lord Jesus. I got my Bible and I got this book right here. Lord, woo, I read it every night. I just tickle myself. Woo, bless myself laughing. Amen. Anyway, amen. All right, we're gonna move on. Cause I would not be long this morning. All right, if you have your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19, New King James Version. Say amen, we have it. Now, look what the scripture says. All right, watch this now. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. That's the east. Now, watch this. When the enemy comes in. Stop right there. That's what I'm going to talk about this morning. When the enemy comes in. Now, the Bible said, it didn't say if the enemy comes in. He told you, look, the enemy's going to come. Amen. You can rest assured that he's going to come. Amen. But be of good cheer, y'all. We have a Savior and we have a Redeemer who causes us always to triumph, even though the enemy will come now. Amen. Ask me, do I know? Yeah. I know you know. Yes. The devil will come. Amen. But we have a Savior and a Redeemer who always causes us to triumph. Now, I want to take a look at the enemy and find out who he is and find out who our adversary is. Find out who is this person that's going up against us, trying to cause us to fall and stumble. Who is this person? Well, the Bible gives us a lot of information about the devil before he fell. Amen. The Bible says, number one, his name was Lucifer, which means the star of the morning. And he held a high-ranking position in the angelic host. Amen, somebody? He had exquisite beauty, and his wisdom was absolutely unmatched. And God gave him a position of great power and influence. He was called the guardian cherub. I mean, Satan was so, Lucifer, one of the most beautiful creations that God created, covered with all kind of emeralds. I mean, his beauty was just absolutely unmatched. And in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12 through 17, NIV, it says, God said, you were the model of perfection. Think about that. When God made him, he says, you were the absolute model of perfection. He said, full of wisdom and full of beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. You were anointed as a guardian cherub for I ordained you so. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked in the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the days where you were created until wickedness was found in you. Though you, through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you out with disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on the account of your beauty and corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth and made you a spectacle before the kings. Satan lost his place of position. I want y'all to understand who this devil is now. Now the Bible says when it's all said and done, we're gonna look at the devil and say, wait a minute. Is this the one that was causing all the trouble on the earth? This little old bitty teeny tat, little old bitty devil, this was the one causing all the trouble on the earth? That's what the Bible says. But watch this. He had a high-ranking position in heaven. But his heart became filled he became proud, and his heart became filled with sin and violence. And when God kicked him out of heaven, Jesus said, look, I beheld you fall like lightning. I mean, God kicked him out, poof, and he fell to the earth. Amen? Now he was the model of perfection, but his heart became proud. And he allowed his beauty and his perfection to cause his corruption. Now, you gotta understand. You gotta watch this now. Now, he was not just satisfied with worshiping God. Instead, he wanted to be worshiped. Now, what did he tell Jesus when he tempted Christ? He said, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you everything that was given to me. All the kingdoms of the earth, I give it to you. He wants to be worshiped. He so badly wants to be worship like God. He so badly envies you and me because of the position that we hold. What kind of position do we hold? We're God's children. We're his sons and daughters. That's our daddy. Jesus is our brother. Amen. He envies that because he held that high position. But now we hold a position higher than anything in heaven. I mean, you know, besides, you know, God the Father. Why? Because the Bible says we were made just a little bit lower than him. Amen.
It's a little bit lower than Elohim, a little bit lower than the angels. We were made like that. Amen. Now watch this. Watch this. Isaiah 14:12-15. It says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. You are cut down to the ground. You have weakened the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Satan so badly wanted to be worshipped. He so badly wanted to be like God that he said, I'm gonna send my throne above his throne. And that's what he's doing today. He puts things before you. The Bible says plain that he's transformed into an angel of light. He's not gonna bring all of his ugliness and his violence and his mess and let you see him for what he is, amen? I mean, he's gonna fix it up, make it look pretty. He's gonna tie a big red bow around it, and then he's gonna present it to you. But it's full of death. It's full of maggots. It's full of defeat. It's full of sorrow. It's full of heartache. That's what the enemy has, amen? Now watch this. Now, Isaiah, go back to Isaiah 59:19. It says that the enemy, when the enemy comes in. Now, I want you to look at something. What is an enemy? An enemy is an adversary. You know the name Satan means adversary? Amen? The enemy is a foe. He's a hater. He's one who dislikes or hates and seeks to harm another. A foe, one who has personal intimacy for another or personal hatred. The devil absolutely hates your guts. Come on, y'all. I mean, people, you know, in the movie industry and the music industry and all around the world, they make it look glorious. Like, you know, I'm living for the devil. When I die, I'm going to hell. I'm gonna bust hell wide open. I mean, they say all that kind of stuff. Highway to hell. I mean, all that stuff. I mean, that's what they do. I mean, they make jokes about it. But the devil is a bad devil. There's no goodness in him. He's full of sin. He's full of darkness. His heart is cold. Amen. Now watch this. John 10:10. NIV. Pull it up on the screen for me. Now, so number one, we see that the devil is the enemy. What else about this devil? Number two, the thief. He's a thief. Come on, somebody. What does he do? The thief comes what? Only to steal. Come on, he come to steal. He come to steal your joy. He comes to steal your livelihood. He comes to steal your family, your health, your peace of mind. Come on, somebody. Anything that he can get his grubby little hands on, that's what the enemy comes to do. The Bible doesn't say that if he comes, oh, he's coming. I got some good news for you. Amen. It said the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. Now turn to John 8:44. Watch this now. Watch this. It says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Number three, what is the devil? He's a liar. There is absolutely no truth, absolute no truth in him. Young people, older people, whatever, I want you to hear me. The things that the devil presents to you that is from the world, it's a lie. It's all a lie. You can ask the rich man that died and went to hell after Lazarus died. Ask him, was it a lie? He's down there burning right now. What did he say? When he lifted his eyes and he was in hell, he said, Abraham, he said, send Lazarus to dip his finger in the water and just touch my tongue. That place was so bad, he said, look, send somebody back to talk to my brothers and my sisters. I don't want them to come to this place. What did Abraham say? He said, They got the prophets. They won't hear them. They won't hear us coming back from the dead. Amen? Amen. The devil is a liar. And the Bible says that he is the father of all the lies. There is absolutely no truth in him. And then at the top of that scripture, it says that he is a murderer. He's the enemy, he's a thief, he's a liar, and he's a murderer. So he comes to steal, watch this, kill and destroy. The devil is, I'm not glorifying the devil. I just want you to see who this adversary is and how we have victory over him. He's so demonic and he's so dark and cold that, you know, you hear stories of somebody get killed or somebody get murdered, but on the scale that he wants to do it, genocide in the world, in Darfur, in the Western Sudan, the militant group, Jihawid, I think is what they call, killed an estimated over 400,000 people. I mean, these are own people. It's like you rounded up people in Houston and you got a militant group and you're just killing people. This 400,000, just violence on a scale that, you know, in today we've never seen. Then back in the Cambodian genocide, 1975 to 1979, that dictator killed over 25% of his population, over 1 million people. Demonic. Who you think is behind that? That liar, that murderer, that enemy, that thief. I'm telling you, there's no good thing. There's no good in the devil. There's no good in sin. There's no good in doing wrong. Amen. There's no good in unrighteousness. Amen. It's all a lie. It's all smoke and mirrors. Amen. He's doing his best to fool you. Amen. In 1932 to 1933, Joseph Stalin, the leader of the Soviet Union, took over Ukraine and seized all the land and all the livestock. And within a year, 25,000 people would die in a day. 7 million people starved to death, lost their lives. Why? Demonic. I'm telling you, there's no good in the devil. And then in 1949, Mao Zedong, the dictator of the People's Republic of China. 27 million people he starved to death. Had the food. But he had a great ethnic cleansing. I think they call it the Great Leap Forward. Held the food back from the people, and the people starved to death. Who do you think is behind that? The devil, the same devil that wants you to listen to that rap music, that wants you to listen, watch all that stuff on TikTok and social media, wants you to get all that stuff in your people. That's the same devil. That's the same devil. Wants you to go out cursing and vaping and smoking and drinking and having sex before you marry. That is the same devil. Same one. He's a thief. He's an enemy. He's a liar. He's a murderer. Matthew 4, verse 1-3. Watch this. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was after and hungered. And when the tempter came, there you go. When the enemy comes, the tempter came. So if the tempter, what is he next? He's a tempter. Amen. So if he come to Jesus, guess what? He's going to come to you. And he's going to try to tempt you with something. Amen. It's been a while back. I was on my diet and doing good, and Perry said, "Daddy, will you take me to McDonald's?" "Sure, baby." Now, everybody got to understand the way I used to love Big Macs, amen? When I was in college, I had a picture of a Big Mac on my wall. I mean, it was in a newspaper. They had like a half a page ad of a Big Mac. I cut it out and framed it, and I set that up on my wall so I could see it just every day. Her name was Big Mac. Woo! Anyway, Perry said, "Daddy, can we go to McDonald's?" And I was doing good on my diet, you know what I'm saying? I was rocking it out pretty good. "What you want, baby? I want some chicken nuggets." And all of a sudden, there was Big Mac over there looking at me, and she said, "Hey, boo." I said, "What's up? How you doing?" She said, "You looking good, Therese?" I said, "You look all right, yeah. She said, "You know you like the way this cheese melts." I said, "Yeah, the cheese do look pretty good. The cheese do look pretty good. You know, when you get kind of nervous, you get the scratching and everything, and now you can come to this drive-thru line anytime you want, Therese." I'm trying. Temptation. The devil is a tempter. Amen. He knows what you like. Why? I mean, look, he's a spiritual being. And I say this all the time. We in our natural state cannot beat a little baby devil. Why? Because they're spiritual beings. He's been here too long. I mean, like we just read that he walked among the fiery stones of God, the mount of God. I mean, he in the Garden of Eden, he's seen all the splendor of God and all the majestic and mighty acts. He knows too much. You cannot beat him in your natural state. So when he begins to tempt you, now the Bible says plainly that God will provide a way of escape. Young people, you better hear me. God will provide a way of escape. Amen. When the devil brings that temptation and God opens that door and prompts you in your heart, he pricks you in your heart, here's your way of escape. You better get to walking. Amen. You better get it. No, I'm telling you, don't even think about it. You better go. Amen. I don't care what it is. Amen. That's why the Bible says take every thought captive. You take that thought captive and you evaluate it against the word of God. Why? Because there is a tempter. Why does he want to tempt you? Because he wants to trick you. Amen. He wants to trick you. What does the word tempt mean? It means to entice, to do wrong, promising pleasure or gain. There's been many, many people that has been tempted. Amen. You can look at all the different athletes, basketball players and football players and people on the, I mean, they fall from grace because of temptation. Amen. They fell to the tempter, the great tempter. Amen. Let's see what else he is. Amen. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. What is he, y'all? He's a hinderer. Can you say that? Hinderer. Amen. I put two ERs on mine when I wrote down hinderer. Amen. That's what he does. He hinders. Amen. What does the word hinder mean? It means to make the process slow and difficult, to hamper, to prevent, to delay, to impede. Amen. Amen. That's what he wants to do in your life. Amen. He wants to make whatever you're doing for God, he wants to slow it down. He wants to make it. Anybody ever had some boots on? You know those big boots that come up here, those big rubber boots, and you walk in some deep mud and it's about to come off your foot, and you're trying to hold your toe up so the boot won't come off, and you walk into that deep mud. That's what the devil does. When you could be on dry ground just running full speed, doing what you got to do. Let me tell you something. McCarroll at? McCarroll, we got to praying for Bishop. He said, y'all, we need to run. I'm like, yeah, let's run. McCarroll took off, and we got around that first time. I said, man, I'm getting a little tired. Jesus, man. And I was trying to keep up, but I looked up. McCarroll was way up there, and I was way back here. So in my mind, I thought everybody was looking at me. I was kind of ashamed, so I put it on, and I tried to catch up. Boy, right after I came back around, I said, shoot, y'all can have it. I got over them chairs. I lifted my hands. I was faking. Praise Jesus. Amen. I said, I hope they don't see my chest going up like AJ was talking about that. And McCarroll still went around another couple of times. I'm like, good Lord. Does she jog every day? What's she doing? McCarroll, what you doing, Miss Carroll? I need to go plant me some flower beds. Amen. Jesus. Amen. So next time we're going to put a rule. When we take off running, no more than 2 times. Amen. That's a rule. Amen. Look, God approves of 1 time around the lap. Amen. He approves of that. Amen. If you go get around 2 times, that's an extra blessing. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to hinder and make this process slow and difficult for you. Now let's see what. He's a tempter. He's a hinderer. He's a murderer. He's a thief. Amen. He's the enemy. He's our foe. Amen. All right, turn to Zechariah 3 in verse 1 through 2. Let's watch it. Let's look and see what the Lord says. All right, watch this. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Come on. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. It is not this a band plucked out of the fire?
Okay, that may not be the scripture I want. I'm just going to tell you what I'm going to say. He is an accuser, amen? Satan stands before, he went to stand before the Lord, and he accuses. That's what he did with Job. He said, look at Job. He said, you know, if you hadn't been blessing Job with all this good stuff and with all this wealth and all this protection, he said, if something bad was to come upon Job, he'll curse you to your face. He stands there accusing us. Amen. What is an accuser? To bring accusation for blame or to charge with an offense judicially. Now watch this. Revelation 2:10 says that he is called the accuser of the brethren. Now, this is why this is so important now. This is so important. When someone is accused of something, or you're accused of a crime, you can be charged judicially, amen? And you have to go before a judge, and that has to be weighed out and played out in the court of law, amen? Satan, listen what I'm saying now. He does the same thing, goes before God. And when he knows you in sin, he goes to accuse you so he can have a legal right to gain access into your life to try to bring destruction. Why? Because he has a legal right to do so. But we have a great intercessor. Amen. Jesus is there interceding for us. Amen. He's there interceding for us. Father God, I know they messed up. I know AJ slipped up and cussed, Lord. I know he did, Lord. But Lord, I'm standing here. Amen. Amen. But I'm standing here interceding on his behalf. Satan has a legal right to a lot of us in here. He goes before the Father. That's what he did with Job. He had those kids, and he said all the time, Lord, I'm scared they're going to die. I'm scared they're going to die. I'm scared my kids going to die. And he went before the Lord and accused, and he gained access and killed all of his family. But God restored. Amen? Amen. Now watch this. Watch this. Turn to 1 Peter. And then I want to show you something that God thinks is going to bless you real good. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He says, be sober, be vigilant or watchful. Why? Because your adversary, there it goes again, he's your adversary. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, I saw something with this scripture. You know, I always look at it. You know, the devil goes about as a roaring lion. Amen. You know, he ain't got no teeth. I think said in one of our rap songs way back. He a lion, but he ain't got no teeth. Amen. But listen, seeking whom he may devour. There are some people that opens the door and the enemy will viciously devour them. Amen. Why? Because they have no covering. Why? Because he goes before the Father and accuses them. And when you're in your sin, you open the door and the devil can viciously attack your life. Amen. Amen. But he goes about as a roaring lion. Amen. Seeking whom he may devour. Now I want to show you something. Go back to Isaiah 59 and 19. Now, on the bottom part of that scripture says, when the enemy shall come in, come on to read the rest of it, shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. You know, a lot of translations, with the King James and I think the New King James, a couple other translations, you know, most people read the King James, says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, comma. You know, and, you know, the Hebrew language and the Greek language, it was written without punctuation, amen? Did not have no commas, no exclamation marks, anything like that, amen? And back in, I think, 1492, let me see if I got the notes on that. That was pretty interesting. Back in the 1500s is when they began to put punctuations into the Bible. And then I think in 1550 is when they began to, they broke it down by chapter and verse. You know, so it makes it a lot easier for us to, you know, find out where we are. Because when they wrote it in the Hebrew, I mean, it was one long sentence, no breaks, no nothing. And then you get a line break because they got to go back down here. I mean, just letter after letter. I'm like, how in the world did they read it? Amen. But I mean, that's how they wrote it at the time. Amen. But it was at the translator's discretion where they put that comma. But it says,
when the enemy comes in, it says, like a flood, you know, they put the comma in the wrong place, amen? It says, when the enemy comes in, that's what a comma should be. Like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Now, I want to shed a little light on this. And I want you to understand what this verse is actually saying. And in order to do that, you got to get the whole context of the entire chapter, and then I'm going to be finished. And I'll just give you a synopsis of chapter 59. Now, like a flood. Now, watch this. Verse 1, I went down to verse 19. I'm going to give you a synopsis. This is what it's saying. It says, God, you know, because the people in sin and the people begin to rebel against God, this is what he says. It says, God's arm is not too short to save, nor his ear dull of hearing. But because of your iniquities and because of your sin, you have separated yourself from the delivering power of God. Amen. Now God's arm is not too short to save you now. And when you pray to him, he's not dull of hearing. But because of their sin and because of the things that they were doing, they separated themselves from the delivering power of God. Amen. He said, your sins have tied the hands of God. Now watch this. In that chapter, wasn't nobody doing right. Corruption was everywhere. It was in the government. It was in the schools. It was in the courts. He said the people couldn't even come to court and deliver an accurate testimony. Everybody had corruption going on, filth going on, lying going on. Amen? And people rushed to sin, and righteousness and truth were nowhere to be found. It was so bad that even when the people tried to do right, they became prey. They tried to live right or stand up and do right, they would attack them. Bring them down to dirt, bring them down to nothing. Amen? Now watch this. So God looked and he was displeased because there was no justice. Amen? He was appalled that there was nobody to intervene for the ones who was trying to do right. Now, what did God do? Scripture says that he put on his righteousness as a breastplate. Now, this is the Father God now. He put on his helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garment of vengeance, and he wrapped zeal around him like a cloak. And he said, y'all, the enemy, these enemies, they about to get this work. Why? What happened? God sees you when you're living right. God sees you when you're doing right. God sees you. Bishop, God sees your prayer. He sees your faithfulness. Amen. He sees what the enemy's been trying to do. And in your life, he sees what the enemy's trying to do. And you're like, Lord, why haven't anything changed? Lord, I'm going through the same thing over and over. But let me tell you something. God gets displeased. He gets appalled. He said, wait a minute. I'm coming to get my children. He puts on that breastplate of righteousness. He put on this helmet of salvation on his head. He puts on his cloak of vengeance. And God said, you know what? These that are doing my children wrong, oh, they about to get this work. Amen? Amen. He said, Lord said, vengeance is mine. And then he said, and everybody know the king is coming, and they will fear his name in the east and his glory in the west. And now watch this. And go back to 59:19. Because of this, that's why he says when the enemy comes, he said, like a flood. He said, when the enemy comes, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Now, other translation says, it says, like a raging flood, the Lord will come in and absolutely destroy the enemy. Like a raging or mighty river, the Spirit of the Lord, God himself, will come in and rectify what is going wrong in your life, what the enemy has been trying to do. Let me tell you something. I know you've been going through some things. Amen. I've been going through some things. Amen. You've been going through some things. Amen. God sees your faithfulness. He sees when you praise him, even though it seems to be bad. Come on, somebody. He sees when you lift up your hands, when you could cry, but you instead say hallelujah. Amen. He sees the struggle. Amen. But you remain faithful. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, the king himself will dress himself in his armor. The king himself, the creator of the universe himself now, will put on his armor, and he will come in like a raging flood. And can't nothing stand against that flood, the force of the flood. The Bible says that the force of the flood is blown and moved by his breath, by the wind out of his mouth. God is blowing on your situation. I like to watch this show, Gold Rush, White Water Raft, what do you call it? Anyway, they hunting for gold in the mountains, and I'm about to wrap it up, y'all. They're hunting for gold in the mountains in a river, a big river, and they find a spot where it's kind of calm, and they get to digging down and try to find that gold. But all of a sudden, you know, there are a big rain to come, and let me tell you what comes down that river. A flood in proportions like you have never seen it before. I'm sitting there looking at that, all the equipment destroyed and everything is displaced, moving boulders the size of cars and the size of houses. That's why, because of all of that force. I'm talking about many millions upon millions of gallons of water moving at a force, just completely destroying and remaking that whole place like something you ain't never seen before. I'm telling you, that's what the Creator would do on your behalf. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, God said, vengeance is mine. Oh, he said, vengeance is mine. He said, don't think I don't see. Oh, don't think I don't hear. Oh, don't think I don't hear your prayers. Don't think I don't see your faithfulness, because I am God. I am God. And I have the final say, because my word will not return void, says God, says the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Deuteronomy 28:7 says, the Lord will cause your enemies. Y'all better hear this now. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come against you one way, but they're going to flee before you in seven ways. Come on, somebody. They may come. I'm telling you, the pain may be there. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. Peace may seem so far away, but I'm telling you, our righteous Savior, our righteous Redeemer, hallelujah. Our righteous King, hallelujah. God is on our side, hallelujah. God is on our side, hallelujah. And he has already defeated the enemy. The Bible says that the devil is a defeated foe. He's already defeated. So I want you to be a good cheer. Amen. You get a praise in your mouth. Amen. You get a move in your step. Hallelujah. And you begin to rejoice before the Lord, because our Redeemer lives, and he lives big on the inside of you. Amen. We have the name of Jesus, and that name is above every name. I'm telling you, demons absolutely tremble when you speak the name of Jesus. Glory to God. I'm telling you, you need to know what you got. You need to know what you have. You need to know who is backing you. The Father himself. You got to understand, the devil and God are not equals. Amen. Amen. It's like John trying to fight AJ. Amen. That's not an equal fight. Amen. The devil is not an equal to God. Amen. Glory to God. And Father God, he has grafted us into the family. We're his children. And I'm telling you, he's not going to let anything happen to you. He's going to take care of you and your family. He's going to take care of you and your situation. You do not be moved. Come on, church. Don't be moved by the enemy. You remember now, and as I get ready to close, remember, the devil is a liar. He is a liar. He is a deceiver. Amen. He stands there accusing, just looking for opportunity to take advantage of your life. Amen. But our elder brother, come on, somebody. Our elder brother, he got our back. Oh, he has our back. Hallelujah. He has our back. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, stand to your feet if you will. Hallelujah. Father, I pray this morning, Father God, that you will open the understanding of everyone here, Father God, that they will know who you are, and they will know who that adversary is, Father God, and know how much more we have over him, in Jesus' name. The Bible says that we always overcome. He always causes us to triumph. We are overcomers. We are the head and not the tail. We are above only and not beneath. That's what you called us to be. Lord, I thank you that you will give each person here that revelation, Father God, in abundance, Lord God, so that we will be able to stand When the enemy comes, Father God, we'll stand steadfast, Father God. Strengthen us in our hearts, Father God, as we take time to read your word, meditate on your word, as we take time to pray. Lord, strengthen us in our inner man, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we will be faithful to you. We will be faithful to your word. We will be faithful to what you said to do, Father God, and we will not waver in Jesus' name. So I thank you, Lord God, that as we go into the holidays, Father God, Lord, I pray the blessing of the Lord upon each and every person, Father God, because you have already blessed us, Father God. I thank you that we walk in your manifested blessing in Jesus' name. I thank you for favor for each and every person here.